That's right. I am so glad that you're here. Pull up a chair here at the Table of Fellowship. Happy Thursday, this April the 9th, 2015. My name is Joey Kroll. Let me tip my hat off to you and welcome you to another edition of Mark and Friends right here on Great News Radio. So how is your week coming along? Did you have yourself a good Easter, by the way? Our church was pretty busy. We did a sunrise service at 7 a.m. We had a breakfast for the community at 8:15. Community Easter egg hunt. And then we had another service at 10:30. And by the time I got home, I was exhausted. Oh, yeah. It gives you more appreciation for God's command of resting and having a sabbatical rest. Very, very important. I figured that out really quick on Sunday. So, oh, yes. Hey, it is such a special week here on Great News Radio. If you've been listening this week, you probably already heard. Celebrating 19 years of ministry. It was this week, 19 years ago, WGNN went on the air on Easter Sunday. In fact, it was April 7th, 1996. And we're just celebrating what God is doing, what God has done, and what we trust God will continue to do through Great News Radio, and his faithfulness just baffles me. I mean, each and every year, I'm sure, we get to see God in a whole new way. We get to hear stories of how God changed someone's life, how somebody accepted Jesus Christ by listening to the broadcasts of Great News Radio. And if you're a supporter, if you're a volunteer, if you're a prayer partner of this radio ministry, thank you. We praise God for you, and we thank you for your continued prayers, your continued support, your continued help, so we can continue to educate, edify, and evangelize right here in our neck of the woods where God has placed us. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I encourage you, if you have some time this week, go to our website, greatnewsradio.org, and click on About, and there you'll find our humble beginnings here at Great News Radio. You hear about how just had great God sightings, divine appointments to bring us to where we are today. So I encourage you to check it out. Yeah, again, greatnewsradio.org. And in celebration of this week, here's Nicole C. Mullen. To God be the glory.
How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me, things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude, all that I am and ever hope to be. Yeah, I owe it all right now to thee, to God. He runs to the weary, the worn. tall hands that hold me when I'm broken, that conquer death to bring me victory.
Nicole C. Mullen, to God be the glory. Amen and amen. Well, friend, how would you describe your faith? Faith may come easy to you, or you may be like so many who struggle with trust. For all of us, when difficulties knock at our door, that faith is tested. And for some of us, our faith is shaken. So how can we, friend, maintain a faith in God that is resilient, a faith that no matter what happens, withstands the ups and downs of life? You know, it's good to know that because of Jesus, a strong faith, a resilient faith can be ours. We can stand strong regardless of what comes at us. So today we're going to talk about how our faith is focused on a sure hope. You ever hear anybody ever say, I hope the weather changes, or I hope my team wins, I hope this, I hope that? As a society, we typically use the word hope in the sense of wishing for something to happen or not happen. We transform hope into something cold and temporary, something unreliable, because we've connected it to a combination of luck and human skill. And this view of hope, though, friend, is dangerous for those of us who follow Christ. Why? Because the way we think about hope influences the way we think about faith. Did you know that? It's our ability to hope for something bigger and better than our current situation that enables us to act in faith. And thankfully, there is someone who we can trust, even in the darkest of times, friends. Someone who will never leave us hopeless. We don't have to settle for anything cold or temporary. We have a living hope. Amen. So if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 3 to 9. 1 Peter 1, 3 to 9. A little background here. Peter wrote this letter to believers scattered across Asia Minor, most of whom were probably Gentile converts. And though Christianity wasn't illegal at that time, many were likely suffering from local persecution or discrimination because of their faith. Realizing that these believers' circumstances, Peter wrote to encourage them, to remain strong in their faith, even in the midst of present difficulties. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is already to be revealed in the last time. In all of this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." Watch this now. "These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Praise the Lord. "Though you may not have seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So Peter opened his letter with a greeting of encouragement. He used the imagery of birth, of new life coming into the world, to imply that once we've trusted Jesus for salvation, we're like newborn children. We've only begun our journey, and much will happen on the road to becoming a mature Christian. We also have been born into a living hope, friend. I mean, that's a great encouragement for us who experience doubt, fear, or suffering. The hope established, friend, through Jesus' resurrection is a sure and certain hope. The resurrection was a big deal. I don't know if you know that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a big deal. See, the difference between everybody else who said that they're this high and mighty person and Jesus is when they died, they stayed dead. Amen. So the hope established through Jesus' resurrection is a sure and certain hope, not something that depends on our circumstances or mood, right? That's because the guarantee of our hope is based on who Jesus is and what He has done. Jesus' resurrection defeated not only the main consequence of evil, which is death, but also all evil in general. His death and resurrection provided a guarantee that all evil will be overcome and judged. And since Jesus isn't just any man, but also God, this defeat is final and binding. It cannot be overruled, it cannot be changed, it cannot be taken away. The hope provided by the resurrection of Jesus is that good actually does prevail in the end. Praise the Lord. There is something better to come, which is the restoration of goodness. And because, friend, our world can be full of trials, suffering, pain, fear, we sometimes despair or lose hope and confidence in God's presence and working of our lives. Has anybody ever been there? Ever gotten to a point that said, "God, where are you? Are you really able to get me out of this situation?" Peter declared that believers are protected by God's power. And I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. If that's true, then why didn't God stop such and such from happening? Or where was God during this situation and so forth? See, God's protection and power can be a very sensitive issue. It can be a very sensitive issue for those who've suffered or grieved over difficult circumstances or a death of a loved one. It's true that His protection may include your physical circumstances, but it also goes far beyond to the spiritual realm of your faith. Remember, friend, your physical body is not the whole you. Did you know that? Your physical body is not the whole you. You also have a soul. See, modern culture bombards us with a naturalistic view of the world that only focuses on the material, the here and now, the right now. Consequently, we also fall prey to that thinking, that if God doesn't save us from physical suffering or death, He isn't saving us at all. And we forget that the person who is in you resides in the spiritual realm as well. Peter reminds us to focus on our salvation in Christ, the result of faith, rather than on the current suffering in the body. In this life, it is our genuine faith that will endure. See, you know, we also tend to look at faith as like a last resort when all else fails, right? That's backwards. Faith should come first. It's the driving force of life. Faith is grounded in the sure hope of resurrection. The physical part of us may fail, but our hope isn't based on protection from the physical ills of this life. Our hope is grounded in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which points us to eternity, friend. So why am I suffering now? What's going on? We may not understand our suffering right now, friend, but we will find clarity with the appearance of Jesus at the end of time. We'll see the beauty of our trust in God when we see him face to face. We'll see him face to face. And at that time, I personally think with all of our questions and all of our God, what about this? What was this all about? And so forth. I think when we have our list of questions and when we see him face to face, none of that will actually matter. Those questions will become a distant memory. That's just my opinion. For now, though, friend, the trials we experience in this life show the genuineness of our faith. Listen to this. 1 Peter 1:7 says, "These have come," talking about the trials and the griefs, "these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is revealed." Did you know that when you demonstrate faith, oh, praise God, when you demonstrate faith in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of that season, whatever that is, you bring praise, glory, and honor to Jesus. So when we begin to understand our hope as something real and grounded in the reality of the resurrection, we should see a change in the focus of our daily activities and lifelong goals. Everything we do should point back to the reality of the sure hope we have in our resurrection at the end of time. So how do we respond to the reality of this sure hope? Well, we need to trust God in the small things first. Seek out situations in which you can consciously and intentionally express your trust in God each and every day. See, when you thank him for the small things, it will come more natural in time for the bigger things. How else can you respond to the reality of the sure hope that we have in Christ? We need to proclaim the gospel, friend. When you encounter someone who has lost hope, choose to share the good news of Jesus' resurrection and your sure hope for eternal life with him. So walking in sure hope of Christ won't help the weather get better or spur your favorite team to victory, but it will give you a foundation on which you can stand and say, "I may get rattled, but I will not be moved." So bring it on. we just serve a wonderful God, don't we? I love it. The Tom Fedke Singers, and there is Power in the Blood medley. Friend, thank you so much for your time and for your attention today. And remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.